Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. It is November the 21st, a treasure chest Thursday here. Me, Mike Dettillier, hanging out with you until 7 o'clock. That's when Thursday Night Football will come on. We got the Cleveland Browns hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know you saw, Mike, that there's going to be a pretty good chance of very bad weather this evening in Cleveland. Some chilly weather, at least.
Yeah, Brad Evans, who's on with us regularly, he's reporting that looks as though they're going to get some snow for the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game. That's right up Pittsburgh's rally to play in that weather. We'll see how Jameis Winston vies. But he talked about possibly like an inch an hour of snow at the peak.
All right, so this isn't even light. This is heavy duty.
Well, I don't think he's talking about 1 inch throughout the game, but I think he said at his peak would be about an inch. So they'll be snowing in Cleveland. So, man, you want bad weather, go play in Cleveland. Hey, man, it's never great weather there.
When you see that, and you also Lambeau Field today, they had a camera showing the snow coming down there. That's kind of funny when you hear the weather report here of a cold front coming in.
I don't know how people would react to all that over here, man. You know, man, they can't drive in good weather, much less bad weather. So I get it. But, it looks as though they'll have some wintry kind of mix tonight for the Browns and Steeler game. And I think the odds makers kind of put that forward. And when you look at the over and under and that the Steelers are only a 3.5-point favorite tonight, you would have thought after what you watched last Sunday with Cleveland, it might have been a little bit more than that. But again, I think they're figuring that possibly the weather might be involved in that.
We might have a cold front here too, folks, but nice and warm inside the Treasure Chest Casino. Come hang out with us leading up to Thursday Night Football before that matchup in Cleveland. You can sit down, place a bet at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We are right next to it here at the Game Bar and Grill inside the casino. They also have the Alder and Birch Steakhouse, the Lakeside Cafe. Plenty of places to eat, gamble, have some fun while you kill some time here at the Treasure Chest Casino. And also, the best part, plenty and plenty of parking.
Yeah, no question about it. Man, they got great food here at the game, too. So if you want to watch the game, man, they must have about a dozen or so TVs here. You can eat supper here. If you want to place a little bet on one of the games this weekend or tonight, already had a couple people walk over. But hey, what you like tonight? Man, I mean, you might not want to take my pick on all this.
I was going to say, do you get a consulting fee on all this at least?
Yeah, right.
Looking at today's lineup, Mike, we got Chris Lowe coming up after the first break. He's an ESPN college football writer. We'll be breaking down stuff in the SEC as well as the rest of the week in college football. 5:20, who dat? Pay attention. We're going to have Dome Patroller, Pat Swilling, Saints Hall of Famer, joining us. I'll talk about the black and gold. No, he was at the last game against Cleveland. We'll get his thoughts on the season so far and what lies ahead after this bye week. 5:45, pick six. We'll be making our selections on some of the top games in college and the NFL. Like Mike says, I don't know if you really want to take our advice.
I think I did okay last week.
620, voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair, joining us as the Bayou Bengals get ready to take on Vanderbilt, hoping to snap their three-game skid. And then 6:30, a little bit of a special guest. I'm going to mix things up a little, talk some rock and roll with football with Felix Heinemann, bass player and keyboardist from Zebro, be joining us before we get into Thursday night football.
Yeah, man, I was talking to Felix, and the first time I went, here's Zebro play. Bobby saw him before I did. He was at the Yellow Banana. He went watch him there on the bayou.
I was going to say, I do not know the Yellow Banana.
Oh, well, it don't exist no more.
Oh, okay, gone.
Oh, yeah,
ain't
yeah.
Ain't there no more.
Oh, yeah, it ain't there no more. And but I watched Zebra, and Felix was part of that. And, you know, Randy Jackson, who's from Raceland, and Guy Gelso, they were all together. And they played at the old Lighthouse in Thibodaux. He's like, Mac, I remember that. I remember playing there. He said, that thing burned down, didn't it? I said, yeah, it sure did. He said, you were there that night? I said, oh, I think I was, but I didn't have nothing to do with it, though.
Love those small, intimate venues. I'm sure it wasn't anything too, you know, huge of a place,
man,
right?
There was a couple hundred people there. It was packed like sardines in a can that night. I guess the statute of limitations didn't pass. I wasn't even 18 years old in there. And neither was Hebert, and neither was Coach O. But, you know, they got bigger fish.
You three together, I'm sure, was trouble. You might have been starting the fire.
No, they had bigger fish to fry that night, so to speak. But, yeah, man, I listened to him so many times, and I'll ask him about it. They got to play at one of the great venues, a Whiskey a Go-Go.
Oh, yeah.
And out in Hollywood.
That's
man.
Awesome.
Man, growing up, that was a hopping place. That was happening back then.
That venue's got to be still around, I would
imagine. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think they played last year.
Okay.
There, and, you know, we'll talk about it. You know, they've been together, the same three dudes, 49 years. 49 years.
That ain't able to do anything for that long.
Because you think about it, you know, man, I've been around guys that played in bands. After a year and a half, man, I hate playing with these guys. You know, I'm going on my own, and it breaks up. It don't last long, but, man, Zebra, and they'll be playing tomorrow night at the Fillmore in New Orleans at 8 o'clock. And so I'll be there tomorrow, and Cannon will be there Saturday. I think two ladies decided that we shouldn't be there at the same time. There might be some issues involved. So, no, but I'm going tomorrow to hear and go talk to Felix and Randy and Guy a little bit before the show. And then Bobby's going Saturday. He got a autograph session tomorrow in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's all excited about that. All he got to do is sign that name.
Might be too cold up there for the Cannon.
Oh, no, but it's going to be short. He know how to wear a coat.
We're going to take a break here. We're at the Treasure Chest Casino. Sports talk roll until 7 o'clock, and then we'll be carrying Thursday night football action between the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns. When we get back, some college football talk with ESPN senior writer Chris Lowe right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Sports talk run until 7 o'clock tonight, and that's when Thursday night football takes over between the Browns and Steelers. You can catch that right here also on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Right now we're going to get to a little college football talk. For that, we welcome in Chris Lowe, ESPN senior college football writer. How you been doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. It's always good to be with you gentlemen.
Chris, listen, before I ask you a football question, I can get this confirmed. Miss Coco said if you want to come back down to Louisiana, she's willing to cook for you.
Only as she cooks her, she makes her gumbo, and her world famous fried shrimp. Tell her I'm there on the next flight.
Yeah, man, she best shrimp boulets, man, you'd ever
world
eat
famous.
In your life. No, I'm telling you, you could ask Chris, man, that's good eating with Ms. Cook. Chris, I'll let you know next time. How surprising is it, Chris, this far into the season, and you see all these teams in the SEC sort of all stacked up, and they're going to have a couple teams left out. I mean, you can't take everybody in that final 12. I would think at the most four at this stage and see how it rolls. You know they're not going to let Texas and Georgia and Alabama out of there. I think the roll will be, do they take Ole Miss or Texas A&M at this you know, particular genre. But that would mean Tennessee, I think, would get left out. So your thoughts on how it's played out this season in the SEC?
Yeah, Mike, I think the way to get to five teams is if Notre Dame loses to Army or SC next week in Los Angeles. I mean, that would open up a spot. Notre Dame will not get in if they lose another game. I'm pretty confident of that. And that would open up another spot, which I think would be one of those two lost SEC teams. I mean, I'll be honest, man. I thought the SEC the last, I don't know, 7-8 years, as good as it was and as many times as it produced the national champion, sometimes two teams in the playoff or two teams playing each other. Mike, I thought it was pretty top-heavy. It was Bama, Georgia, Georgia-Bama, and, of course, 2019, LSU had that unbelievable team. But you didn't have, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams that you felt like on any Saturday, if things went well, depending on who was healthy, could win. Well, this year it's been like that in the conference. I mean, it's been topsy-turvy, man. And you've seen Arkansas beat Tennessee. You've seen Vandy beat Alabama. You saw Florida beat LSU last week. You know, you saw Kentucky going to Ole Miss and beat Ole Miss. This has been more of a – there's been more carnage, you know, in the league this year than we've had in the last several years. And that's probably going to work against the SEC when those final selections are made. I still think, though, there's more carnage to come, not only in the SEC but outside. I bet you there's at least two outcomes in college football over the next 3 weeks, counting conference championship weekend, that none of us see coming.
What we watched last week, and you watched Georgia, they may be the scariest team that you would have to play. You know why? Carson Beck, he was El Sucko for most of the year. And then all of a sudden, last week, man, that's the guy I thought we'd see to start the season. He was terrific throwing the football. Man, if Carson Beck gets on track, Chris, they got a lot of teams that's not going to want to see Georgia on that schedule.
It was almost like the twilight zone for me, Mike, because I was with Georgia each of the last 2 weeks. I was in Oxford the week before, and then I was in Athens last week. And they looked like two different football teams. He looked like a different quarterback. But I think, to me, the secret sauce for Georgia last week is they played up front offensively as well as they played all year long. They protected him. He had a clean pocket. How many times did you see a lot of guys in his face against a really good and deep Tennessee defensive line? He had time to throw the football. They started a new tackle. Georgia hasn't started. I think they've started several different combos in their offensive line. If they get that type of play up front and give him time to throw the football, I mean, I agree. I think if you brought in 10 coaches from around college football, maybe some current, some former, and you said, all right, give us the four teams in order right now that you at least want to play right now in a football game on a neutral site, I think Georgia's probably one or two. I think Ohio State's up there, probably Oregon, maybe Alabama, but certainly Georgia's in that top one, two, or three. And I agree with you. They're a team, certainly if they can stay healthy, that people are going to want to be part of in December. And hey, think about this. They're probably going to have to go on. Someone's going to play them in that first round at their place. And if they win, then they're probably going to get the 3 seed, the 4 seed at their on the road. They're going to have to go on the road and play maybe an Oregon, a Miami, somebody like that. So one of those teams that get to buy, the reward's probably going to get to play Georgia.
Chris, you close by and have watched what Coach Lay has done at Vanderbilt. And, I mean, that's amazing of how they were able to. Now, last week, they caught the buzzsaw. Now, sometime you saw and sometime you catch it. They caught it with South Carolina, who is another hot football team. And I still don't see how LSU beat them. I mean, that was a cluster of events for that to happen. But tell everybody, because LSU plays Vanderbilt this week, the strengths of that team, I mean, they got a guy at quarterback. He's the straw that turns the drink for them. They play aggressive on defense. They run to the football. His specialty is certainly on the defensive side, the football. But this is a relatively young Commodore team other than the secondary.
Yeah, it is. And I think the thing that Clark's done better probably than anything is he's been able to bring key pieces into the team, like a Diego Pavi at quarterback and some other positions. He overhauled that entire program, Mike, strength, conditioning. He brought a new OC to call plays. He's calling defensive plays. And there's a lot of belief there. And they played what I call old school throwback football. They keep the ball away from you, man. It's just hard to get it. And they don't turn it over. They only turn it over six times all year in 10 games. So when you're able to be in third and one, third and two all the time and keep the football, you got a quarterback in Pavia who really is like a street brawler, man. You just don't want to get mixed up with that guy. When it's third and short or fourth and short, he's going to figure out a way to get the first down. And they keep the football, 8, 9, 10, 11 plays. They don't turn it over. They're sound on defense. I was at the Texas-Vandy game. I saw that game live. And Texas clearly has better personnel. They got better skilled people. But I was blown away, Mike, how well Vandy tackled in space. You know, and their ability, you know, in one-on-one situations, you know, being able, you know, when you get out to the boundary and a guy's got speed and some shape, how their defenders were able to get guys on the ground. Now, you know, they haven't done that every game, but most of the games this year, certainly the games that they played the best in, they've been able to do that. You go back to the Alabama game, to the Texas game, they played a hard schedule. They played South Carolina. That Tennessee game in 2 weeks, a lot of Tennessee fans are worked up about the rankings and the Vols not been in right now. Tennessee better worry about Vanderbilt in 2 weeks because that game's in Nashville. I think it's a noon game, 11 a.m. Central Time game. That will be a chance for Clark Lee and Vanderbilt to really put a bow on what's been a terrific season there in Nashville.
Chris, when you know, we cover LSU here, but from the outside looking in on what's happened to this team since halftime of the Texas A&M game, because we saw improvement defensively from this team, and then all of a sudden it was like a cheap suit. I mean, it peeled off you, and I mean fast. And we've seen this team sort of in free fall since the Alabama game. I mean, the only time they was in the game was when they kicked off. Other than that, that was it. I mean, Milroe, when he's going to go in the College Football Hall of Fame, those two games he played against LSU, that would be on the reel for me. And then, you know, you look at Florida. I don't think Florida's very good. What does that tell you about LSU? That LSU moved the football up and down the field. Settle for field goals, not touchdowns. From your perspective, what has happened to this team since that halftime of the Texas A&M game?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it is making, I want to just say big plays, Mike, but decisive plays, key plays, guys on offense and defense. And that's where LSU, you look at all the guys they've had come through there the last few years, they've had those guys on both sides of the ball. And for whatever reason, they've not been able to do that. And I think the other troubling thing about LSU is when you get to the second half of the season, that's when you start to see what I call quality depth come to the forefront. Kids that have developed and been developed. Maybe guys who weren't, you know, frontline players the year before. Maybe guys who had not gotten a lot of snaps and they've had to step in for people who got hurt. Or you just need to play more players because it's a lot of part of the season. And I don't think you've seen enough of those guys step into the forefront. Now, it's damning on a lot of fronts. I think on the staff, on those players, on their ability to sort of build that depth and be ready to go the second half of the season. Because in the SEC, man, when you get to November and you've been beat on the way you are in that league, it ain't your first 22, Mike, and you know that better than anybody. You know, it's who have you developed or who's sort of stepped in, who's come on. Maybe who's been a guy that you thought wasn't ready that's all of a sudden gotten ready, and I don't think they've had enough of those guys come forward this year as they've gotten in here to the latter part of the season.
Chris, curious your thoughts on if you think that head coach Brian Kelly is that guy to lead this Tiger team back to the promised land. Obviously, fans here reeling right now, very disappointed in a team that looked like they should be making the College Football Playoff this season, but that's now off the table. Can he get things turned around going into next year?
Well, Brian might have won. He might have won too quickly there. His first year, they get to the went to the SEC title game, and of course last year, I mean, it's a, I guess, damn if you do, damn if you don't. They had the Heisman Trophy winner, but they're not really able to capitalize on that as far as being a playoff type team. But I listen, the guy's proven, you know, he won at Notre Dame. He's coached a long time. I think you got to be careful, especially in the SEC, after three seasons, after two seasons, and I know what happens, to point to a coach and say, well, he's not the guy. You know, we're going to go get somebody else. Well, who are you going to go get? You know, who is that guy? You know, who is more proven than Brian Kelly? And so I would warn, I guess my warning to LSU fans right now is you got a guy who's won at a high level, who understands what it's like to coach in a fishbowl. He was at Notre Dame. Now he's at LSU. But, yes, you also have a right as a fan to say, this ain't it. This is not who we are. This is not our standard. We got to recruit better. Maybe you got to play the portal game a little bit better, the NIL game a little bit better. But certainly improvement next year. And when I mean improvement, being a playoff team, I think, will be a very realistic expectation for the Tigers next year. If that's not the case in year four, then, yeah, I think there's some serious soul-searching to do by the LSU administration and Brian and his entire staff. Because it's not like he hadn't made changes. You know, they would spend a lot of money bringing the new defense coordinator this year, like $2.5 million. So they've been invested to do those things and make changes on the staff, but sooner or later it's going to translate onto the field.
Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, everybody in the offseason, every Ole Miss fan, man, this is the year. We got our shot here. And not only to get into the top 12, but to win. And because of what they have on the defensive front, which is really good, Chris. Man, I don't remember Ole Miss's front seven, especially what they have with that defensive lineman, as good as what they have right now. For Lane, and you're getting Trey Harris back healthy, this is his opportunity to, for all the guys that want to take a shot at him, to prove that, you know, hey, listen, we belong with the big league guys this year. But it all has to do with what they've got on defense.
No, they've never been, Mike. I don't remember a time that Ole Miss has been this good, this deep up front in their front seven. Certainly their defensive line. But they went out and paid a lot of money in their NIL. And I give them credit. You know, we talk about a payroll of around $13 million this year. And much of that was spent on front seven guys. On defense. And you saw that. You saw the value of that against Georgia. They dominated that football game a few weeks ago. Now, after a bye, they got to prove that they can sustain that against a team that I think is dangerous in Florida. You got to play at their place, the Swamp. But no, he's always scored points. They scored a ton of points since he got there. They've thrown the ball around the park. But the difference is, and he knew it. He told me when I was with him last week or 2 weeks ago, he said, I knew that we had to build a team that could beat Georgia, because Georgia's the top dog right now. If we're going to do that, we got to get bigger, more powerful, stronger. We got to get pass rushers. You got to be able to bully the bully. And that's what they did 2 weeks ago. We'll see coming up, you know, if they can continue that. But they pitched all their chips in this year. You know, Dart came back for another year. You're right, Trey Harris, who is one of the better receivers in college football. You get him back healthy after missing three games. This will be, to me, a very telling game, Mike, when the Rebels go to Florida. Because if they go in and take care of business and look good again, because that would be about three or four straight games in a row, then I think they become that team in the playoff. Because I think they will get into the playoff that nobody wants to play.
Chris Lowe, ESPN Senior College Football Writers, thank you so much for the time, as always, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, guys. Have a great night.
You too, buddy.
Appreciate it. Mike Dettelier, Steve Geller here at the Treasure Chest Casino, getting ready for Thursday night football, kicking off 7 o'clock between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going to take a break. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this. Stay tuned or stop by the Treasure Chest and say hey. We'll be right back on WWL. Welcome back into sports talk. We were just talking about the LSU Tigers getting ready to take on Vanderbilt Saturday in Death Valley. Coverage will start at 2 o'clock. You can join Mike Dettelier and Herb Tyler for the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger tailgating show. They'll be at the Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge, presented by MAP Construction. Always a great time with Mike and Herb. Acme's got 16 surround sound TVs, drink specials, plus life's more fun with seafood, right? Catch LSU's pregame at 4:30. Kickoff with Chris Blair and Jacob Hester, 6:30. Tigers versus Commodores. That is 9 hours, folks, of LSU coverage. Saturday starting 2 p.m. on WWL and the Free Odyssey app.
They gave you some bad script there, Steve.
What you got?
No, we with Jeff Palermo because Herb's son's getting married.
Oh, congrats to Herb. So it's you and Jeff.
So it's me and Jeff Palermo. We'll be there Saturday from 2 to 4:30. Acme Oyster House on Perkins Road. We're about a mile from Tiger Stadium.
Right.
So we see everybody coordinating and supervising before they head to the big game over there. So come on by and visit. Jeff and I will be there from 2 to 4:30 this coming Saturday.
You're getting ready tonight for Thursday Night Football, Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers. Doesn't seem like a very exciting matchup tonight, Mike. But
Exciting for the Steelers. Right, I would want to play them after what I watched. After what I watched Sunday, I would want to play the Browns at this stage. Man, did the Browns look lackluster? Almost like they were flat as a pancake. Now, the Saints took it to them. I gather that. But, man, they didn't have a lot of fire in them. I will say that you wonder a little bit because remember we had Mary Kay on
Cabot,
last week, and she was like, you know, I was about 10 feet away from the owner, Jimmy Haslam, and he didn't look too happy. So, Mike, I would tell you that, you know, the coach maybe is okay, but not by the way the owner looked. No, Jimmy Haslam, he don't know how to spell patience. And he ain't. Now, he got all kind of money. Now, he's a $20 billion guy. But, man, you get him that's upset. And man, Cleveland ain't won much lately.
The issues they've had year after year after year with that quarterback situation, too, is just ridiculous.
No, but that's on him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, he lit the fire under every owner by giving that guaranteed contract to Deshaun Watson. Whoa. Man, did he catch it the next owner's meeting. But that was his decision. They get into the playoffs last year, and they look like a team that was pretty good. Could Deshaun come back and play like the guy we saw with the Texans, where he was a really good football player?
Where's that dude gone?
Man, that guy I ain't seen again. I've never seen him play at that level again. Now, some injuries involved, but you can't tell me when you watched him, he carried the Texans on his back.
Absolutely.
And then you see this. He's a shell of himself as a player. Is part of that injuries, also part of that off-the-field stuff that's affecting him in Cleveland also.
Well, we can thank him a little bit because the Saints dodged the bullet for sure with Deshaun Watson not coming to New Orleans.
And they say that in Atlanta too.
Exactly,
I mean, it was close because remember, it was almost the entire NFC South. Carolina was interested.
Right.
Atlanta was interested.
Cleveland seemed to come in late.
The Saints were interested. And then it's almost like Secretariat coming from back the stretch. I mean, and, you know, and they catch him. But then you find out the details of the contract that every nickel guaranteed.
Oof.
You know, nobody else was going to do that at that stage of the NFL. Today, you see a lot of 70, 80% of contracts fully guaranteed. It's not quite like what it is in baseball and basketball,
right?
But it's moving inchingly close to that.
We're going to go to the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk in Texas. We got Jimmy and Gretna on the line. What you got for us today, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Hey, look, let me give some love to the smaller programs. You know, I know LSU and Tulane gets all the credit. But, hey, UNO basketball is at Tulane tomorrow. First time in 8 years that we've played them. You know, I'm a UNO fan. We're playing them tomorrow, I think, at 6 or 6:30 uptown. So come on out. Come support UNO. UNO's really struggling, guys. Mike, you see, Mississippi College, they basically, they stopped their football program, I think, a day or two ago. UNO is having similar issues with enrollment and finances. They don't have a football team, but – yeah, UNO and Tulane tomorrow night in basketball. Of course, you got the Southeastern game and Nicholls State tonight. I'm going to hopefully try to stream that. But I wanted to get your take, Mike and Steve. You know, before the last LSU game, I know they've lost three in a row. You know, I saw the pundits and the commentators were saying Nussmeier is the fourth-ranked quarterback according to Mel Kiper's big board. Now, maybe that's taking a hit with the loss. And look, listen, let's be reasonable here. This is essentially his first year starting. You know, so PA's got a great arm, lots of talent, obviously injuries with the team, the running back Emery and Harold Perkins, they're on the field a lot because the defense has had some issues. It's a lot of pressure on Nussmeier. That being said, do you think that ranking's kind of high? Has it changed? And, you know, what's your take on that? Do you think Nussmeier is going to be back?
I never had him fourth. I mean, again, Mel has his own ratings, but I wouldn't have put him that high to begin with. And being a one-year starter, I think his dad is going to have some influence here. Former NFL quarterback. He's been a coach at the collegiate level, at the NFL level. He understands that. I think for him, he needs more experience as a starter. That's not his fault. Man, look who was starting in front of him, Jaden Daniels. So I think his dad is going to have a lot of influence on him, and it may be to return for another season. I hear a lot of people talk, let the freshman start. What? An 18-year-old kid? Okay, every once in a while it works out.
Right, everyone thinks that, you know, that you're Johnny Manziel, you know, just growing
up. Johnny was a redshirt freshman, too, right, when he did it. So my deal is I wouldn't be surprised that Nussmeier returned for another season at LSU. And I think the one individual that's going to have more influence than anyone, his dad is going to have tremendous influence on him on exactly what to do. And he knows, I think, like what a lot of people know, he might not be quite ready yet.
Yeah.
Get him some more starting time. If Jaden Daniels had left after his junior year, he's not the same guy. If Joe Burrow would have left after his junior year, he was not the same guy. They got that second year in as a starter. Look the difference it made.
That's a great selling point right there, Mike. Right there, I'd be like, all right, I hear what you're
okay,
saying.
Okay, I ain't Brian Kelly, but if I was Brian, he could hear me, I'd steal that.
Listen
Brian.
To Mikey Salford, right.
Coach Kelly, steal that one.
We are here at the Treasure Chest Casino at Sports Talk till 7 o'clock. That's when Thursday Night Football takes over. We are taking a break and be right back with more after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Here with Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller till 7 o'clock when Thursday Night Football takes over between the Browns and Steelers. Mike, wondering if you saw today the press conference, New York Giants, Daniel Jones ended up having. It sure seemed like a somber goodbye to New York.
Yeah, that's about it for Daniel. You can tell they sort of
done with that.
Yeah, walk the plank. So they're going to be drafting early. They'll have him a rookie quarterback.
They had him running safety and scout team with the practice today.
That's bad.
Right.
That's really bad for Daniel Jones. And so, listen, the one thing when you're a first-round pick quarterback, you go get other opportunities in life.
Sure.
You'll get a chance with another team.
We're going to take a break for news when we get back next hour. Saints Hall of Famer Pat Swilling, Dome Patroller, will be joining us at 520 plus. Pick six. Get our picks for the weekend's games right here on WWL after the break.